has joined.
Hag Sameach. I hope everybody's well.
Hag Sameach.
I take it you're the first one, or?
I suppose so.
Well, if you were hearing music before I said anything, then you were the first one.
That's right. I was hearing music.
Okay. So we'll wait for someone else to come on.
You tell me where we were again, because I was trying to find it and I'm a little lost.
If you go to the unique astrological times, that's underneath the two pictures on the right, and then
I'm
scroll
there.
Down almost to the bottom. Find
has joined.
7 week comfort. Good afternoon, Hag Sameach. I was just describing where the handout is for today, which is continuing from yesterday.
Okay, Hag Sameach.
So did you find the 7 weeks of comfort?
I'm looking. It's down near the bottom, you said?
Yes. It's underneath the Tisha B'Av section. And then there's a two B'Av.
I found it. Yes, I found it. Okay.
So it's the first link, and it opens up to the two B'Av. And then it scrolls down about 40% of the way to see the title, Love as Fire.
Love as Fire. Okay. I've got it. Thank you so much. I was trying to remember.
That's fine. Normally I put links so you can go right there. But my feeling was I don't want to do any separation in this day of unity. So that's why I didn't. So we will begin with the Anna Bekoach. Anna Bekoach, Gedulat Shemincha, Katir Terura, Aleph Bet Gimel, Yud Tav Tzadi. Kabel Rinat Amcha Sagbeinu, Taharenu Nora Kufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudha Yevava Damrem
has joined
Yud Kavshin Barhem Taharem Rakame Sitata Gamid Gamlem Petet Resh Saritav Gimel Kasin Kadosh Berov Tuvcha Nael Adata Et Kufet Et Nunayan Yachid Ge'e Lamcha Pnei Zokre Kedu Shata Yud Gimelamet Hey Zion Ku Shavatenu Kabel Ushmati Akatenu Yodea Talubo Shin Kufav Dari Yuta. In the eighth verse of the Anna Bekoach, we say in a whisper. The handout is about to be of. It's continuing from our class last night. It's in the section that we described earlier in this recording today. We're starting with at the point of love as fire on the handout. And we'll start with a L'shem Yehud. L'shem Yehud kutshabarichu v'ishkin tevidhilu urchimu utchilu utchilu urchimu. Leachda l'shem yud hei bavave, v'yichuda shalim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah. V'yehi noam Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu k'nenei hu. love as fire. In the words of, and it says, my teacher, which is true because I have listened to Rabbi Kalman Warch, but it's primarily the author of this essay's teacher. If Yom Kippurim is the wedding where we wear white to unite as one with Hashem, as we do at Nila, the final prayer of Yom Kippur, and if Elul is the initial letters of Anila Dodi with Dodi Li, I am to my beloved and my beloved is to me.
Has joined.
Is the beginning of significant closeness and courtship. Since the king is in the field for all to come close to him in Teshuvah, then Tu B'Av, perhaps, is dressing for the first date in our upward ascension towards soul reunion. Two, there are some that note that Tu B'Av is 40 days before the creation of the world on the 25th of Elul. And thus in heaven this birth is announced. So make the point and realize that we are 45 days from Rosh Hashanah, but it's actually 40 days to the creation of the world, which is the 25th of Elul. Many people forget that Adam was created on the sixth day of creation. And the world was actually created on the 25th. Passion. It all depends on passion. Without passion, our prayers, our learning, our mitzvot are lifeless, dead, and unfortunately ineffectual. Tu B'Av opens up the Jacob part of the month, originally given to Esau. We see this hinted in the permutation of Hashem's name, Hawaya, associated with the month of Av, He and Wav, and Yud and He. The first part of the month shows the judgment where the letter He covers turns over the Vav. But after the midpoint on the 15th day, the letters Yud and He, which total 15, are in order, showing the passionate union between friends who never separate. The Av, the father of Menachem Av, and Ima, the mother, which is the moon prior to the fall and the loss of her light. This passion is described in both the Mishnah and the Talmud. For on those days, the daughters of Jerusalem would go forth dressed in white borrowed garments, so as not to embarrass those who lacked financial support for a new garment. And each garment was first immersed in living waters to cleanse them of any menstrual blood. And the daughters of Jerusalem would then go forth and dance in the vineyards. And what did they chant? Young man, lift up your eyes and observe. What is it that you are discerning for yourself? Cast not your eyes upon our outer beauty. Rather examine our family background. Later sages added the following. Those women who were attractive declared, set your eyes upon our beauty. Those who were of nobility declared, set your eyes on our family origins. Those who were not so attractive declared, take us for the sake of heaven, but also adorn us with beautiful garments and ornaments. Here, in Sadie Hawkins Day fashion, perhaps as aggressively as Scarlett O'Hara, the desire of the woman for union is revealed. It is a fiery passion, for the Aish, the fire, is related to Isha, the woman. And this is the kind of burning love we must develop to to prepare ourselves for the days of awe of Rosh Hashanah is Yom HaDin, related to Gibura, to the redness. And this must be, in the language of the Tanya, a love like reddish gold. As gold is superior to silver, there is a love superior to all others. A burning desire to leave the body, returning only for the sake of making a makom, a place for Hashem in this world. Our task on Tu B'Av is to figure out how to channel our passions, which are all really manifestations of our desire to connect with the eternal, towards returning home to that place of balance, to the makom, the place, the name of God, place of the omnipresent. That love is strong as death, requiring a para aduma to nullify the death, the disembodied residue. Jealousy is hard as the grave for those in the desert, as well as those buried in Beitar. It flashes and flashes of fire, the burning of the temple wood collected on the 15th of Av, the flame of God from the verse in Shir HaShirim. This fiery red passionate love, however, must be housed in clean white garments, for we are promised that even though we may be red with sins, through Teshuvah we can be whitened as snow. Through your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wood. Purge me of sin with hyssop, red used with para aduma, and I shall be pure. Cleanse me, and I shall be white, whiter than snow. Let your garments always be white. Garments of white, garments of scarlet. The woman in the Tu B'Av narrative in the Mishnah all wore white, borrowed garments, showing their purity. Zohar, however, says that they all went out in scarlet garments. Which was it? Perhaps we say both. If the Zohar representing the Sod is the inner lifeblood of the body of the Torah, which is also the oral Torah, the Talmud, then perhaps the women were wearing inner garments of scarlet for their fiery passion. They also immersed and purified their eternal white garments, thus doing teshuvah. With both, they are ready for union, just as the community of Israel is joined with the Holy One, blessed be He. We thus turn to the very, very beginning of the Zohar, the Book of Splendor, which begins its discussion of the 13-petaled rose with a quote from the Holy of Holies of Scripture, Shir HaShirim. Rabbi Hizkiah begins by quoting, "As the lily amongst the thorns, it is the community of Israel, because there is a lily and there is a lily. Just as the lily among the thorns is tinged with red and white, so is the community of Israel affected by the qualities of judgment and mercy. Just as a lily has 13 petals, so the community of Israel is surrounded by the 13 attributes of mercy. Thus, between the first mention of the name Elohim and the second mention are 13 words. These words surround and guard the community of Israel." My love is like a red, red rose, a poem by Robert Burns. Don't read my love as the object of my love, rather my love as my passion, which is doubly red, doubly passionate. This is the lehit havlut, the passion, lehavot esh, like shafts of fire. that we must develop inside the upcoming days. At the same time, and part and parcel of our return, we must whiten our garments, our deeds, our speech, our thoughts, to be able to stand in purity throughout Elul, on Rosh Hashanah during the 10 days of Teshuvah, and on Yom HaKippurim, the day of cleansing and cleaving to cosmic Bina. Both the white and the red are two friends who never separate. The white semen is given from the Father, forming bones and sinews, fingernails and toenails, the brain and the white of the eyes. The red seed is the skin, the flesh, the blood, and the hair from the mother. And both come together in the two garments, red and white, on the 15th, Yud and Hay, Yud from the father and Hay from the mother, worn by the women in their dancing expression of desire to become one with their other half, and thereby rowing seven times. And this is the prophecy in Isaiah about the moon growing to the level of the sun, and together growing seven times. And now we are reading about Kedoshim Titiu, be holy. We read this last night as the meditation. I'm going to read it again as the meditation for the Tuba'av. Be holy is a phrase said frequently from the Torah, sometimes as a form of admonishment, and sometimes as a motivation to a child. The Kotzker Rebbe has added, Kodem HaMensch Unach Etem Chelig. First be a mensch, then be holy. What does it mean to be a mensch? According to tradition, one can begin to greet others with Lashana Tova, have a good year, do Tu B'Av, the 15th day of Av. And now comes the question, why do we begin this greeting from Tu B'Av, which is 45 days before Rosh Hashanah? And why not on Rosh Chodesh Elul, which may seem a more likely time, as Elul comes exactly 1 month before Rosh Hashanah, and the whole month of Elul is considered a preparation for a new year. According to Chassidut and Kabbalah, the fact that Tu B'Av is 45 days before Rosh Hashanah is very significant and is connected to the Talmudic debate over which month the world was created in. Tishrei, the month in which Rosh Hashanah, the new year of years, falls, or Nisan, the month in which Pesach falls, and which is the new year of the months. Both sides make numerous arguments, but the Talmud reaches no definitive conclusion. The Rabbeinu Tam, the grandson of Rashi, a later commentator explained the underlying unity of both opinions. The world was created in potential, or in thought, in Tishrei, and in actuality in Nisan. My commentary. It is interesting to note that 40.5 days prior to Rosh Chodesh Nisan is Tu Bishvat, which is the new year for the trees. And if we consider that holiday as the creation of the tree of life, it helps to strengthen the arguments associated with Nisan being the month of creation. And that is why all astrologers call Nisan the first month of the year. The word for thought in Hebrew is machshava. When those letters are permutated, they spell choshav ma, to think of what? Ma, what, as a gematria of 45. And thus one can read this allegorically, as God began to think of creating the world 45 days before Rosh Hashanah. And that day is Tu B'Av. And I am adding, is it Tu B'Shvat, as we discussed last night? Sometimes a Kabbalist would conceal the true revelation with misdirection. And so some Kabbalists say that Nisan is the beginning of the year in potential, the male aspects. And Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah, is the beginning of the year in actuality, the female months, which is right, which is wrong, and which is correct. Always remember, the glass is half full, or the glass is half empty, or the glass is. There's always the third column. There's always the balance to seek. What this tells us is that we too should already begin the process of thinking about the essence of our lives, how we can be stronger, better, deeper, and ultimately a better servant or a better son to Hashem, and how we can become a self-actualized Adam or person, coincide with the birthday of Adam on Rosh Hashanah. No coincidence that 45 is also the gematria of the name Adam, which means Adam, which means man or person. And Adam means male and female in unity. We thus have a 45-day program to think about the essence of our lives. And in doing so, we recall the famous teaching of Hillel. Uva makom she'en anashim. In a place where there is no men, strive to be a man. And I am adding, in this verse, there are two words for man. One is Anashim, which comes from the name Enosh, representing the first generation that started to perform idol worship. And the other word, ish, which is cognate, sounds like esh, meaning fire. The name ish is teaching us to be more passionate and fiery. In short, be a mensch. Don't do wrong actions. Do good deeds. And this is a path to becoming holy. We have 45 days until Rosh Hashanah, the birthday of Adam, to contemplate this directive, to use it as the basis for our teshuvah, of our mistakes against God, our mistakes against others, our mistakes against ourselves, our mistakes against the ecology of the world. The Shana Tova. Much of what was written above was written by Rabbi Rachmiel Chaim Drizin. To the thoughts of Rabbi Drizin, I add my own wishes for a good year to all. L'shana tova tika tevu. Rabbi Isaac Luria has given us a meditation using the name of God that is connected to the name Ma. What? Gematria 45. Yud, Yud, Hey, Yud, Hey, Wav, Yud, Hey, Wav, Hey, Yud. Yud hey, Yud hey wow, Yud hey wow hey, Yud, Yud hey wow, Yud. Return to this meditation daily, several times daily, and think about becoming a mensch so that you can ultimately become holy. Each line above is the following gematria. 20 is Yud. Yud He is 26. Yud He Vav. Yud He Vav is 39. Yud He Vav is 45. They total 130. 130 is a ladder, a sulam, as Rabbi Ashlag named his commentary on the Zohar, the sulam commentary, the ladder. 130 is Mount Sinai as well. 130 is 13 times 10, which is unity, 13, echad, in its complete structure of 10 Sephirot. 130 is the gematria of the organ that we call sight, our eye. 130 is the gematria of the word for a humble person, ani, ayin, nud, yud. Whenever you speak the word ani in Hebrew, aleph, nun, yud, think that you are saying ayin, nud, yud. 130 is the gematria of the Hebrew word Sinai, as in Mount Sinai. And I am adding, one of the essence of this meditation is to realize that the path to unity starts with the ladder to Sinai, where the gift of the Torah is potentially received, where we learn that true vision can only be received by the humble person. In addition, a student of Kabbalah needs to realize what is the meaning of each number running up to 130. The 20 is the ka, which is the palm, which is the map of life. The lines of your palm. 26 is the gematria of the name of Hashem. 39 is the gematria of Du, which leads to Mashiach and to the 39 aspects of work that we are told not to do, but to feel the pain of the loss of the Torah, the loss of the temple. And 45 is the gematria of Adam, representing the unity of male and female. Mahashava, Chashav Ma. Uvaya, Tishchach, Shema Kadisha. Ugin Yaakov, Dehiyu Yisrael, Edmar, Wayevra, Elohim, Etcha Adam, Betsalmo, Badik Yokna, Temaraya. Thought, which is Makshava, consists of the letter Chashav Ma. Think of Memhe. Memhe refers to the Yud and He and the Vav and He, fully spelled with olives. Yud, what Yud, Vav, Dalet, He, Aleph, Vav, Aleph, Vav, He, Aleph, in which the holy name lies. Because of Jacob, who is called Israel, it is written, so God created man in his own image, after the likeness of his master. And here is a discussion of Tu B'Av from the feminine perspective by Rebbetzin Chana Siegelbaum. A secret holiday for women dancing in the vineyard. Tuba Av is a day veiled in secret. Not much attention has been given to this holiday until recently. When we inaugurated Midrashet Berot Batayin with our first Tuba Av seminar 17 years ago, and since then it's probably 20-some years, no one had hardly heard about this mystical holiday. Yet Tuba Av is mentioned in the Bible. The book of Judges calls Tuba Av a yearly feast for Hashem in Shiloh, when the daughters would go out and dance in the vineyards. Likewise, the Talmudic lengthy discussion of the occurrences on this holiday centers around the theme of women and circular dance. What is the connection between Tuba Av and feminine dancing? As mentioned in Meshechet Tanit, the daughters of Jerusalem used to go out on Tuba Av and dance in the vineyards, while the young men watched and chose whomever pleased them most. Although in the secular Israeli pop culture, Tuba Av is known as a holiday of love, such a spectacle would surely seem unacceptable today, according to religious standards of modesty, known as tzniut. Yet according to the Talmud, there was never days as good for Israel as the 15th of Av and Yom Kippur, when the daughters of Jerusalem would borrow white dresses and go out. Tuba Av is the holiday that celebrates the inner feminine lights. It is not accidental that it makes the birthday of Midrashet Berot Batayin holistic Torah for women on the land. Since its inception, our Midrasha has celebrated Tuba Av with bonfires and dancing in white borrowed dresses in our vineyard. My commentary. There are many questions asked about the various generations born since the development of the pill used by women to prevent pregnancy. There are many people within that generation that are deciding to live together instead of marrying under a chuppah. The socialists who study this indicate that this is not beneficial to the people involved, yet it is not understood why. The Kabbalah does explain this phenomenon. It is too long to go into in this commentary. Yet there is one thing for people to start to think about. The Orthodox rabbis indicate that it is incorrect to have intercourse prior to marriage. And that is why they recommend short engagements. Actually, the Torah itself does not say this. It is the rabbis who say it. Here on Tuba Av, we see the opposite actions implied within the holiday. There is much to contemplate in this discussion and commentary. Continuing with an unwritten commentary, most people do not realize this. But each time there is intercourse between a Jewish man and a Jewish woman, there is a marriage. Marriages unto Baal, completing Adam. To appreciate the inner sanctity of Tuba Av, we need to tune into its inner dimension. Tuba Av is exactly 45 days prior to Rosh Hashanah, when Adam, the first human being, was created. This mystical holiday, therefore, marks the spiritual essence of Adam, whose numerical value is 45. The completion of the human being is to be married, not just as originally Hashem created the first human being as being both male and female. And this fits in with the fact that Tuba Av occurs exactly 40 days before the first day of the creation of the world, the 25th of Elul. Our soulmate is declared on high 40 days before conception, as the Chazal teach. 40 days before the formation of the fetus, a heavenly voice comes out and proclaims, the daughter of so-and-so is created for to become the wife of so-and-so. This is one of the reasons why marriages traditionally are celebrated unto Baal. From biblical times, it was established that every year on Tuba Av, the daughters of Israel would go out and dance, and whoever did not have a wife would find one then. And therefore, the day that the tribes were permitted to intermarry, the first day year after conquering the land of Israel, was explicitly on Tuba Av. Likewise, on this day, the tribe of Benjamin was permitted to intermarry with the rest of the tribes after this tribe had been ostracized due to the terrible incident with the concubine in Givah. Arousal from below. What is the intrinsic interconnection between Tuba Av and Yom Kippur? Rabbi Rafael Moshe Luria explains that Tuba Av begins the season, which culminates in Yom Kippur, wherein we prepare the inner lights, the Orm Panimi. This occurs according to the Kabbalistic concept of arousal from below, which is the term Maim Nukvim, female waters. And we perform this by purifying ourselves from every impurity in thought, in emotion, and in deeds. These are good days for Israel, since there is nothing as good as that which we earn and deserve through our own hard work. This implies that Tuba Av marks the beginning of the period of Teshuvah, in preparation for the high holidays. A period where we begin to work harder on ourselves to integrate the insights we have gained the last 6 months into our character. The generation of the desert versus the generation entering the land. Whereas the holiday of Tu Bishvat marks the beginning of the masculine season of the arousal from above, represented by the generation of the desert. The winter season, beginning with Tuba Av, corresponds to the feminine, arousal from below, represented by the generation who entered the land of Israel. This is the time period when we really integrate all the lights of the summer and build proper vessels for them, so we can keep them during the darker months of the winter. The summer season, beginning with Tu Bishvat, corresponds to the generation of the desert, who merited to experience revealed miracles through surrounding light, or makif. In the wilderness of the divine lights, they shone only outside of the vessels, such as by the clouds of glory that surrounded them. However, the lights did not penetrate inside of their inner vessels, since they had not yet purified them, meaning they had not integrated the lessons of Hashem's miracles into their psyche. Therefore, despite witnessing such great revelations, the generation of the wilderness repeatedly sinned. In contrast, the generation who entered into the land, most of which were women, were righteous, as it states about them. They served Hashem all the days of Yehoshua, of Joshua, and the elders. They also did not require open miracles, for the divine light shone from within their vessels. In the time of Tuba Av, when the nights grow longer, we too must build proper vessels by removing negative habits and increasing our Torah learning and our mitzvah observance. Preparing the inner vessels. The season of arousal from below begins on Tuba Av and culminates with the awe of Yom Kippur. Tuba Av thus leads up to the high holidays, which are called Yamim Norim, in Hebrew, literally the days of awe. Although love is greater level than awe, we need the attribute of awe in order to prepare the vessel to radiate the lights from within. The High Holiday is about crowning Hashem to be king over the world and over ourselves through our awe of Hashem. We build awe of God by taking new mitzvot upon ourselves, by being careful with our actions. For example, increasing the level of our tzniut, removing lackness, refining our speech, and in general becoming more accurate in how we keep the mitzvot. This purification process builds the dwelling place of divine light through the crowning of God to become the king of the whole land. Only through the awe of Hashem is it possible to purify oneself from negative character traits which block and prevent the divine light from entering inside of us. Therefore, in the book of Devarim, which was directed at the generation who entered the land, it states, "And now, Israel, what does Hashem your God ask of you except fear or awe of Hashem?" Purifying the intellect, the heart, and the liver. There are three levels in this process of purifying our inner vessels. According to the three inner vessels of intellect, heart, and liver. In Hebrew, the initials of these three organs, the moach, the brain, the lev, the heart, and the kaved, the liver. They spell out the word mem, lamed, kaf, sofit. The word melech, meaning king. Rosh Hashanah is the time for purifying the intellect, as indicated in the word Rosh, the head. During the 10 days of repentance, we purify our hearts by means of teshuvah, returning to Hashem, cleansing and purifying our emotions. And this process of teshuvah includes karata, regret, vadai, bedui, confession, and kabbalah la'atid, a cutting in our heart to better ourselves in the future. On Yom Kippur, we purify the liver, which represents our physicality, by abstaining from the physical, including refraining from eating, drinking, wearing leather shoes, marital relations, and using oil or creams on our skin. The onset of our purification process. The process of preparing for Rosh Hashanah by purifying our inner vessels of the intellect begins on Tu B'Av. As tradition prescribes, we need to increase our Torah learning during the nights, which now begin to lengthen. The preparation process of the 10 days of repentance, when we purify our hearts, begins with the month of Elul, whose initials are alluded to in the verse, Umal Hashem Elokecha et Levavcha ve'et Levav Zarecha. And Hashem will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. During this month, we increase prayer, which is the service of the heart. The custom during the 10 days of repentance is to rise early and pray long supplications. This completes the purification of the heart and begins the purification of the vessels of the liver, which is completed on Yom Kippur by fasting. The time from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, also when we increase good deeds, when we bestow kindness to others, purifying our drive for physical pleasures and materialism, building malchut, preparing the vessels for the inner lights is connected with building the Sefirah of Malkut, referred to as the daughters of Jerusalem, and represents the feminine aspect of the divine, the Shekhinah. In contrast to the masculine aspect of the divine, which is beyond the world, and therefore associated with surrounding life. And this is why Tu B'Av has special significance for women. For the woman is the Malchut, and the mainstay of her home. The reason why the daughters get dressed up in white dresses on Tu B'Av is to indicate that now begins the period of preparing the vessels and the garments, which must be white and pure, worthy for the divine dwelling place. The matter of dancing in the vineyards is the circle dance that shows that we are like this circumference and vessel for the inner lights to become a vineyard of Hashem. The vineyard also alludes to the inner lights, as wine is found inside the grapes. Likewise, the land of Israel is also known to be the aspect of Malchut. Therefore, the women who were devoted to the land of Israel made up the majority of the generation who entered the land. A home for the inner lights. Bringing redemption is not though exterior fanfare and surrounding lights of love, since grace is false and beauty is vain. A woman who fears God, she shall be praised. Tu B'Av marks the beginning of the darker winter season, when the divine lights are manifested and concealed within the vessels, which becomes a home for the light. All the honor of a king's daughter is inside. In the merit of the righteous woman, and with God's help, we will merit the building of the divine home and the complete redemption. And may we all say, Amen. This is an unwritten commentary. The essence of Tu B'Av is the unity of male and female. The essence of Tu B'Av is gratitude, being thankful for all that we receive from Hashem. And this is how we grow. And I am now asking you, in the few minutes that we have left, to return to the unique astrological times link where you found the handout for today. And scroll all the way to the bottom, and you will see some links under a title, The Works of Musar. The first link is the Sefer Tomer Devora. If you open that up, you get to a landing page in the Sephoria website. It is the book of Tomer Devora, the palm tree of Devora, by the Ramchal, Rabbi Moses Cordovero. Click on chapter 1, and remember that in earlier classes we read chapter 1, verse 1. So we are going to start today and just do the one verse of chapter 1, verse 2. Mi el kamocha, more al hayot hakodesh, baruch hu melech ne'elav. Sovel el yo elbon ma shelo yakilehu, rayon hare ein divar nistar. Mehashkahato beli safek beoden rega shelo yihye hadam nizon umitkayem mikoa al yon hashofea alav wahare mitimsa shemeolam. Lo hata
Adam Negdo, Shelo Yehu Beoto, Harega Mamash Shofeya, Shefa Ruke Umo, Utnoat Evrav, Evarav Im Hayot, She Adam Hote Bakoa. Ahulo menao mi menu kelal ela sovel hakadosh baruch hu elbon kazeliot mashpia bokoa tenu otavara behu motio otakoa beoto rega Bechet v'avon b'makis v'hakadosh baruch hu sovel v'lo tomar she'eino yakol limnoa mi'enu hatov ahu chetvav she'charei v'kocho b'rega imem ra Layavish Yadav Viraglav Kain Shaasa Layaravam Vim Kozot Shahakoa Viado Beha Zir Akoa Hanishpa Hahu Behaya Lo Yomar Kewan she'ata, ote negdi tehenta, b'shalcha. Lo b'sheli, lo pifnei zemana, uvo min adam. Ela saval elbon, v'yishpia hakoach. V'heitiv li'adam tuvo, hareze elbon, v'savlanut, ma'shelo yisupar, v'alze korin, malake hasharet, v'hakadosh baruch hu, melech la'aluv. V'chaynu v'omru mi'el kamocha, ata el ba'al chesed ha'meitiv, el ba'al kovach, linkom l'lechesof, et shelcha, v'im kol zot ata sovel, v'ne'elav ad yashuv, The first, who is a power like you, instructs about the Holy One, blessed be He. Being an insulted king that tolerates insult, that is inconceivable. Behold, nothing is hidden from His oversight, without a doubt, and yet there is no moment when a person is not nourished and preserved by the highest force that flows upon him. And behold, you find that there was never a person who sinned against God without him at that very instant, willing the flow of his existence and the movement of his limbs. While this person sins with that force, he does not withhold it from him at all. Rather, the Holy One, blessed be He, tolerates such an insult. To flow the power for the moment, for the movement of his limbs into the person, and the person uses that power at that moment for sin and iniquity, and to anger him, and the Holy One, blessed be He, tolerates it. And you should not say that he is not able to withhold this goodness from him. God forbid. As behold, it is in his power to make his arms and legs rigid instantly, like his word, similar to what he did to Jeroboam in 1 Kings. And even with all this, that he has the power in his hand to withdraw the flowing force. He could have said, since you sin against me, sin with your own strength, not with mine. He does not withhold good from a person for this. Instead, he tolerates the insult. He flows the force to do this, and he gives the person of his goodness. Behold, this is insult, and it's toleration that cannot be told. And for this, the ministering angels call the Holy One, blessed be he, the insulted king. And this is the meaning of it stating, who is a power like you? You are a power that is a master of kindness, that benefits, a power that is a master of strength to take revenge and take back what is yours. And with all that, you tolerate it and are insulted until the person repents. Hare zo mida shetzarich ha'adam lehit maheg ba ritzoni asav lanut v'kein heyoto ne'elav afilu lemadraiga zo ve'im kol zot lo ye'esof tovato min ham kabel. Hold, this is a trait that a person must practice. I mean tolerance. And so to be insulted, even to this extent, and nonetheless not to withhold one's goodness from the recipient. Our class is over. We have two more classes today. One at 4:30 Pacific time, which is a deep Zohar class for a half hour until 5 o'clock. And at 7 o'clock Pacific time is our period of questions and answers. But as we are preparing for Rosh Hashanah, my plan is, if there are no questions asked, or if we still have time in our hour this evening, then I will continue with the Sefer Tomer Devorah, starting with chapter 1, verse 3. Does anybody have any questions? Shalom Gadol to all.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Chag Sameach. Have a beautiful day. Beautiful balance of the day and a beautiful balance of the week. Shalom Gadol.
Shalom Gadol. Thank you.
Chag Sameach.
Chag Sameach to all.